At 11 o'clock at 61 degrees in Midtown Kansas City, I'm Linda Scher. Up to Date is next.
I'm Steve Kraske, and this is KCUR's Up to Date. There's no easy way to say this. It's been a rough start for the Royals, but hopeful fans think their boys in blue will find their footing back here at home. Today, we're live from Kauffman Stadium, just hours before the 2017 home opener, where Kansas City takes on the Athletics from Oakland. We'll check in on the pregame hype and find out what'll go into making this season a success. We'll also see what happened out here at the K over the offseason and ask, what the heck is a Sunriser hot dog? There's a lot of ground to cover, new talent to keep an eye on, and plenty of stats to analyze. Join us behind the scenes with the Royals as we get you up to date after this hour's news. Good morning and welcome to Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. We're live from Kauffman Stadium getting ready for the Royals home opener later today. But first, let's cover some news. A big electoral race with national implications is happening in South Central Kansas tomorrow. The contest for an open seat in the state's 4th congressional district is the first congressional race since President Trump took office. And Democrats think they can flip the seat. KCUR's Frank Morris has been covering the lead-up to the special election. He joins us now back at KCUR Studios. Frank, good morning.
Hey, Steve.
The news here this morning is that the Republicans seem to be taking this race seriously, with the National Republican Congressional Committee coming in with a very late ad buy, Frank.
Yeah, that's right, Steve. They spent $92,000 on TV and online attacking James Thompson. They put up an ad attacking him on abortion, saying that he's in favor of abortion for virtually any reason. Thompson calls the ads false, and he's asked the station running them to pull them. Ted Cruz is going to be in Wichita today, I think, campaigning for Estes. It's heating up here at the end after being overshadowed so long by the Georgia 6th in suburban Atlanta, the race to replace Tom Price, Trump's Secretary of Health and Human Services pick.
That being said, is this still a safe Republican seat or not?
Well, I mean, that's why the race really hasn't generated any attention, why James Thompson, the Democrat running, hasn't been able to get any money from the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee or even money from the state Democratic Party. Mike Pompeo basically been wiping the floor with all his competition over the last three elections. Yeah. None of them got above 30%. Well, they were all around 30%. But, you know, then you have this guy, Thompson, is a real Sanders guy, motivated to get into politics because
Senator Sanders,
right? And so this group called Our Revolution, a Sanders support group, kind of gotten behind him. Daily Kos, a website, a blog with a lot of liberal, news. They're behind him. So he's raised about a quarter of $1 million and has these phone, people calling down to the 4th district in Kansas from all over the country.
Now, so, Frank, on Friday, I had a Republican operative call me and say it's a 1-point race in favor of the Republican down there. What's your prognosis?
Really? Well, I haven't heard that. I mean, there's been very little public polling. Sanders or Thompson's poll a while back had him down substantially. It's going to be turnout, and early voting shows that the Democrats are doing pretty well in early turnout, at least in terms of bringing out Democrats. You see them coming out. But Ron Estes has that base, that anti-abortion rights base down in Wichita, that's going to come out very strongly. Sanders people are obviously motivated. It's very interesting. Steve, I had no idea it was a 1-point race. You know, there's some speculation, too, though, that that's just those kinds of, announcements are really to get the base, to get
right.
Ron Estes' base out to the polls.
Well, that seems like a stretch to me. That's KCUR's Frank Morris. Frank, always appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
Let's go!
The Royals season is exactly 6 games old, and the team is 2-4 after an extra innings game yesterday. So what does that tell you? Well, the hitting has been pretty decent at times, not so good at others. The pitching, pretty much the same story. We're coming to you live this morning from Kauffman Stadium for the home opener of the 2017 Royals. This is always a big day for Kansas City and this team, which is just 2 years removed from its World Championship run. This morning, we'll talk about everything from how this team is built, and yes, it's a departure from recent teams, how this stadium is cleaned after each home game, and we'll also talk about the new food offerings this year at the K. Wait until you hear about the Sunrise Dog. First, we'll begin with an analysis of the 2017 Royals and a look at its strengths and weaknesses. Is this a World Series team or not? We're about to find out. With us this morning, Greg Eklund, covers sports for KCUR. Greg, good morning.
Good morning from the refurbished Diamond Club.
That's right. Rex Hudler, who's an analyst with the Royals broadcast team. Rex, how are you?
Greg and Steve, I'm pumped to be with you today.
Hey, have you had a Sunrise Dog?
I have not. I'm looking forward to it, though. As you walk into the Diamond Club, they have a display of all the food there, and you can smell the aroma. I'm ready to eat. I'm ready to chow down and try it all.
There's some pretty wild stuff up there, Rex.
Got 81 home games, man. I can't wait to devour myself, divulge myself.
We're 6 games into this season. How confident are the two of you about this team now that you've had a chance to see them play a few games? Greg, what's your sense?
I like this team. I like the way it's put together. Unfortunately, they had to scramble because of the untimely death of Yordano Ventura, but I thought that Dayton Moore did a very exceptional job considering the circumstances of piecing the rotation together, and I think that's been the one constant through the first 6 games is that the rotation has been very solid.
Rex, how do you see it?
Steve, starting pitching is the currency in baseball. Gotta have it. Bullpen, we've known here in the last few years how important a bullpen is, and we've showed to the rest of the world in baseball how important a bullpen is.
Yeah.
The Royals have been an innovating ball club, franchise, how to build a winner. How do you build a winner? Frenzy-style hitting. You can put away the money ball theory of ball 4, taking walks. Our guys don't walk. They swing the bat, they put the ball in play, they pressure. We're seeing a similar offense, except now we're sprinkled with power. So do you get a starting rotation that can go a little bit deeper as the season goes along to take a little pressure off of that bullpen? But that power is going to throw up some 3-run home runs for him. It's going to relieve the bullpen. So I think this team has a chance to be in postseason for sure, especially with the great defense. But it's that starting rotation. If they can continue to pass that competitive baton from one starter to the next and eat up 6, possibly 7 innings a start, we're going to win.
But what a big change from previous years, though. No more Greg Holland, no more Wade Davis. These were world-class relievers, Greg. They're no longer with us.
Well, Holland, he had to go in another direction because nobody knew what kind of a pitcher he was going to be coming off his surgery.
He's doing okay so far.
And he's doing okay so far for the Colorado Rockies.
Right.
Wade Davis, he's at an age where we don't know how much mileage is left with Wade Davis, and he's gotten off to a decent start with the Cubs. But the bottom line is that the Royals had to find a way to get more run production this year. And one of the ways they did it was by obtaining Jorge Soler from the Chicago Cubs. We won't see for another week or so what he'll be able to provide for the Royals, but they had to use one of their marketable commodities by moving Wade Davis, who was at the tail end of his contract, to get somebody in quality in return.
But Rex, again, not to belabor the point, but you get into the 7th inning, the 8th inning with this team, and your tension level has to be a little higher this season than it's been in previous seasons.
It is, but, you know, the bullpen this season was worked around Strom, okay, the strong left-handed pitcher. Showed great poise last year, pressure situations, no problem. Never experienced failure at this level. And you know, that's something that young players have to get through. So this year, he gets it handed to him. I like to use the analogy of humble pie. Everybody gets it. They all eat it here. Some have just a piece of pie. Some have the whole pie like I did. I failed nearly every single day when I came out to the ballpark. It's just that difficult of a job. How do you ingest the humble pie? Will determine how far you'll get in your career. And Strom right now is ingesting it, and it's boiling in his stomach now, and he's not sure how to deal with it, how to digest it. Mm-hmm. You digest it by letting it fill you up with positiveness and look around and get your head up and say, look, I'm no different than anybody else in here. I'm going to get my lunch handed to me, but here it is. I got talent. Here it is. Hit it. That mentality is going to help him. They might have to send him down to get some confidence back, but he's going to be a big difference. I like Soria so far this year.
Looking pretty good.
Less is more. We saw some fastballs that we've never seen velocity-wise from him last year. When Soria came here earlier and had his success as a younger pitcher, he was more 92, 93, but movement, location, that's what fools the hitter, not velocity. That, mm-hmm. that velocity was straight and it got hit last year. This year, he's taking a little less off, mixing in that little slow curve that he's so good at, getting the hitter's timing up. I like what I'm seeing from him. I think it's going to take some time. They're going to figure out who's doing what. Pete Moreland's coming in with ice water in his veins. He's going to be a stopper. He's fearless. Now, we'll see about Woody. You know, I'm not sure. We haven't seen him pitch. To me, he looks a little tight, and he's a veteran. I'm a body language expert in the game. And I see him coming out, and he looks to me like he's a little bit on edge. Greg, can you see that too in him?
I could see that, but make your point, because I have a question to you about body language.
Okay.
I mean, you talked about Soria, and I'm seeing him walking around the mound
posturing.
When he falls behind 3-0 on a hitter. And I think that there's a lot about Soria's body language that doesn't make me as convinced as you are regarding Soria.
A lot. There's a lot. I have issues with it. Now, as a broadcaster on television, it's an honored position. Doesn't make me that special, but the position I have is very special. So there's accountability there. You got to really think before words come out, because these guys are sensitive. Their families are all listening. It's not an easy job. And when you have a small brain like mine, it can be a challenge. But having 21 seasons as a player myself and played every position out there on that field except pitcher and catcher, and played in every market, lived in every time zone, played in three countries, I got a pretty good idea of how to size up my opponent, what I was looking for. And whenever I saw a pitcher out there getting behind in the count, posturing around the mound, walking around, that told me, and I'd yell to my teammates in the dugout, we got him, look at him. He don't have no confidence. He's in trouble. Who's going to get him? That's the kind of stuff that goes on. So it's a cat and mouse game without any words being exchanged. I think the 10-year veteran that Soria is could clean that up.
If you just joined us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. We're coming to you live from the Diamond Club out at the K. If you hear some background noise on our broadcast today, that's why. This place is starting to fill up. It's been newly renovated. We'll talk about that a little bit more in our second half. We're joined by Rex Hudler and Greg Eklund. You know, Rex, you just mentioned how many years you played the game, 21 seasons. You're holding a baseball as you're sitting here in front of me today. You smelled that baseball a little while ago. You love opening day. You still can't get baseball out of your system. It's just part of who you are.
It is. It's part of my fabric, but I'm not alone. Many Americans out there enjoy and embellish an opening day to baseball season, whether it's minor league baseball or major league baseball.
It's still special.
It is. And, Steve, I'm going to hand you this pearl. A pearl is a ball that's right out of the box, unblemished, and it's got a beautiful smell of that leather. So take a whiff of that.
Take a whiff of this thing.
You smell that. You smell that leather?
Oh, yes, you do.
Isn't
absolutely.
That nice?
It's wonderful.
Oh, man, I'm telling
takes
you.
Takes you back to your childhood,
Greg, you may not want to
smell it,
but yeah. Take a whiff of that.
Yeah.
Okay. See, now look. Now once it gets in play, they rub it up with that Delaware mud, and it gets for the pitcher to get a grip on that ball. It becomes a different ball.
Yeah.
So, but for opening days and first games of the season, I always like to bring a pearl out just to remind me of how beautiful the game really is.
That's a beautiful white baseball, unblemished by
it's
anything
a pearl,
so
Steve.
Far. Absolutely.
I have an opening day story to share with you.
Yeah, Greg, fire.
This was back when I was in high school. I put my mother in a very difficult position.
By doing what?
Cutting school to go to the home opener.
And how did she react?
And she had to call in for attendance purposes, my absence. I said, Mom, just tell them I got the fever.
I like it.
And did she? Did she do that?
She did it.
And
she
got you off the hook. Eh?
She was a team player.
Yeah, there you go. Good. Yeah. Well, going back to this team this year, what's the biggest strength of this team, Greg Eklund, as you size it up? What's it look like to you?
Well, I think the staple of this team the last few years has been the strong defensive play, because you're not going to have your fireballing 100-mile-an-hour guys thrown out each and every night against the opposing hitters. So the ability to catch the ball, make plays, like they did yesterday against the Astros is what is going to keep a guy like Nathan Kearns in the game.
There were some great defensive plays yesterday.
There were. And, I mean, it looks like Alex is back to form in left field, Alex Gordon I'm speaking of. And as long as they have that solid defensive play behind their starting pitching, again, it comes down to run production, backing them up with that run support to win those ball games.
Is defense your choice, Rex, for the biggest asset this team has going into the season?
Oh, absolutely. Greg is 100% correct. Amazing how many games are won by the ball being caught. If you don't catch the ball, you don't win. I was blessed to play for some great managers in my time. But Whitey Herzog, the Rat, when I was in St. Louis playing for the Cardinals, he talked about Willie McGee in center field. Nothing fell out there when Willie was out there. Mm-hmm. You know, Coleman, that kind of speed. You know, he designed his team around defense and pitching inside their big ballpark. Very similar here at the K. You know, they've patterned themselves with Lorenzo Cain out there. Paulo's doing a great job to start the season, but Alex Gordon. Mm-hmm. Who'd have thunk that Alex Gordon would become one of the best outfielders in the world after taking that demotion, going to Omaha, and then teaching him how to play the outfield? Now he's one of the greatest. And I love, whenever that ball goes into the left field, I hold my breath, and I try to let Ryan get the call in before Alex makes that play. It's exciting to watch an athlete of his caliber and the strong throwing arm. I love the defense.
How about the biggest weakness of this team, Greg, going in?
I'm not sure if it's a weakness or as much a question mark, but Time will tell if the guys who get to Kelvin Herrera will be capable of handling those middle innings.
The seventh and eighth inning relievers. Yeah.
Yeah. So as long as you get the starters to get you five innings, rotating those guys effectively for the sixth and seventh and eighth to set up the table for Kelvin Herrera. Herrera will be all right. He lost.
He lost
the lead
it last night.
He blew the save yesterday, but I think in the long run he'll be okay.
Rex, how about you? The weakness.
Yeah, I love being with you wordologists. Yeah, you guys are talented. That's
We're
your
public
skill.
Radio, Rex. Yeah, this is a whole different level.
Yeah, no question. I have a worldly degree in baseball. That's all I got.
And you know,
I'm exposed every night on the broadcast though with the words that don't come out, and it doesn't fit all the time. But you're right, Greg. I don't think it's going to be a problem. I just think that they're going to have to figure out how to maneuver and how to get through and who's going to be in what role. And usually that goes with a lot of ball clubs. And let's keep in mind, every baseball team out there has warts. Every team has warts.
There's Even not the Dodgers a, and all that money.
You better believe it. Dodgers, all that money. The Cubs got warts.
Mm-hmm.
I'll call Joe Madden right now on the phone, and he'd answer, the guy he is. And I'll say, Joe, what are some of the warts you guys have? And he'd tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just, you try to get through it. Other areas have to pick up the wart stage.
Mm-hmm. Do you see this team in the World Series at the end of 2017, Greg?
I would say let's take it one step at a time. Let's get them into the postseason. And it's the team that plays the best baseball in the postseason that gets to the World Series, not necessarily the best team that gets to the World Series. So I would say let's get to the postseason. From there, I'd feel good about their chances if they got there.
You've got all that experience going for you at that point, right?
Sure,
you
absolutely.
You can make the playoffs.
They've
look
been
out.
There. These guys know how to do it. They know what it takes. And I think after having something taken away from them last year, like the postseason, I think they're hungry for it again.
Rex.
And Yordano Ventura being taken from them. That's a motivating factor. They'll never, ever replace that young man, talent-wise, human being-wise. They'll have to move through it. Part of the healing is going to happen today when his mom throws out that opening pitch. We've never seen that here at Coppin Stadium before, at least what I've heard. This is only my sixth year, what I've heard. Very difficult.
I can tell you we haven't.
Right, okay, so this is something new. Hosmer's going to address the crowd. I mean,
is that right?
Yes, there's going to be an interesting start to today's game, and I think there's going to be a lot of healing. It's going to be emotional. Everybody's going to need a tissue. But we'll move forward as a part of the healing here.
Mm. How big of a loss is Yordano Ventura for this team, Rex? Just from a nuts and bolts, building a baseball team, losing your second starting pitcher. Man, that's something.
Happy I never lost a teammate in all my time.
Oh, is that right?
Very thankful for that. But I can just tell you, by being around these guys, they were close-knit family the last few years that I've seen them. As they've grown together, come up from the minors, they won down there in the minor leagues, they come here, they got it handed to them, they ate a lot of humble pie early, They got beat in 12, you know, 13. They started coming around, believing in themselves, and then to go where they've gone, and then to experience the loss of Moose's mom, of your
Chris Young.
Also, Volquez lost his father in the World Series. I mean, of all places, these guys have grieved together, and they've understand, but they're professional baseball players. Something that's different than amateur. Professional, you have problems like everybody else. You're a human being. You got to put those problems away, and you better come out and perform. If you don't, someone will take your job. So they're good at putting it behind them. But I think today is going to be something that no one's ever seen and no one's ever been through before.
Let me talk about maybe one of the key players on this team going into the season, Eric Hosmer. He bats .266 last year. Greg Eklund knocked him more than 100 runs. But some analysts say he's got 60 points more in him in terms of a higher batting average than we showed last year. He's got obviously incredible potential. What's been holding him back so far, and are we going to see it this year?
Well, I'd love to see it this year. I think for this team to succeed, they need that to happen for Hosmer to produce runs this year with more than 100 runs. I'd love to have him bat with a higher batting average. I think it's just experience, the experience factor. I mean, he has shown now he can hit the ball to all fields. I think that was a major step from a hitting standpoint.
Right.
And when he's in one of those grooves, I mean, he's one of those guys that could carry a team when he's hot.
And this could be the last season we've got him here.
It's possible.
Over this team.
Dayton Moore keeps everything so close to the vest that we really don't know what's going on. But based on past patterns, if you don't have a guy signed before the start of the season, based on past patterns, if you're a Scott Boras client, you're going to play out the season.
And he may be gone, you're suggesting.
Yeah, because it's possible. The bottom line is that it's what Eric Hosmer wants to do. He's the one that makes the call. This is the same thing that we've been through with Alex Gordon. Nobody really knew what Alex wanted to do, except maybe for his family.
Right.
So it really comes down to Eric Hosmer. If he chooses to stay in Kansas City, it may not be for the highest offer, but I believe the Royals would make a competitive offer.
Rex.
Greg, I agree with you as far as him not reaching his ceiling yet. He's got a lot of potential for the reasons you brought up. A player that uses the whole field hits for a higher average. His power potential is not even there either. I believe he's got a 30 home run season in him. Hmm. He's figuring some things out. Long arms, long legs. Sometimes they don't equate to hitting a round ball with a round bat. I know Scott Boras. Boras is concerned and loves his clients. He realizes the situation here with Hosmer. Has a chance to be a George Brett in the community. Has a chance to be that guy. Has a chance to be a Hall of Famer. We don't know. He's still young in his career. He's not 30 yet. I didn't reach my prime, but I was in my early 30s. He's got a long career left, you know, blessing. Hopefully he stays healthy. But I say the Royals go out and they sign Haas. They're going to find a way to get it done.
Well, guys, I was going to say that there's no doubt that he is the guy who is the whole package. He's the guy who can be the franchise marquee guy.
Guys, great analysis about the prospects for the 2017 Royals. Rex Hudler, what a pleasure to have you here.
Steve,
good luck
I
this
love
season,
being
Rex.
With you, man.
I appreciate
it. You wordologists.
And Greg Eklund of KCUR, so good to have you too, Greg.
Thanks, Steve.
You bet. When we come back from a break, we talk with the man who works to make your experience at the K the best it can be. Again, we're coming to you live from the K on this opening day. I'm Steve Kraske, and you're listening to Up to Date on 89.3 KCUR. And welcome back. Linda's right. We are live from Kauffman Stadium on this gorgeous opening day out here at the K. On Friday's program, Scott Simon spoke of his unwavering support for the Chicago Cubs and what their World Series win meant to him. You can find that conversation at kcur.org/up-to-date. Tomorrow we'll find out how the Charlotte Street Foundation has shaped Kansas City's local art scene through 20 years of service. Well, as I said, we're coming to you live from the Diamond Club at the K on this 2017 home opener for the Royals. Ever wonder how the team keeps the fans happy? We did too. Joining us now is Jonathan Rosa. He's a guest experience specialist for the Royals. And Jonathan, so nice to have you here. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Your title means you do what exactly?
So the easiest way I can describe it is I work with pretty much anything that has to do with the fans. So I work with all the feedback that comes in and seeing how we can make the experience better for all of our guests that come out every day.
So one thing you do is deal with fan feedback. How do you get that feedback and how do you process through it?
It's definitely a lot. There's a lot of different ways the feedback can come in. First and foremost, when a guest comes into our stadium for a game, they can come into guest services and fill out a compliment or complaint, and I see those directly after the game. Also, anytime you buy a ticket online, you can fill out an optional survey, and I can see those surveys and if they want to be followed up with. Also, we have a fan feedback email. So anytime you email into the Royals, want to just let us know about something, I see all those emails.
I know you don't want to talk about complaints on this gorgeous opening day of the season, but a typical complaint that you might receive would be something like what?
It could be a little bit of everything. Sometimes maybe it's waiting too long for food in line, or maybe the view was not great from the seat. We're very lucky here that we get very little complaints. Last year we finished number one in Major League Baseball in terms of, the guest experience when they came out here.
Is that right? Does that mean you get fewer complaints here at the K than any other Major League team?
Well, I don't know by numbers, but, yes, we're very lucky in that sense. I like to tell people, unfortunately, I deal with those few that do complain. So to me, it might seem like we get a lot, but in the grand scheme of things, we're pretty lucky to have a pretty awesome operation around here.
So you have an easy job, which means I want your job. Can I get your job?
Of course, yeah.
Do you tend to try to deal with fans directly, either on the phone or in person, Jonathan? Is that the most effective way you found to deal with concerns?
Yeah, the best thing I've learned since being out here is it's easiest and best to address a situation on the spot. So when they're at the stadium, we want to make sure we address it when they're here rather than them going home happy or upset and then we don't know why. So yes, most of mine I deal with over the phone, and I just try to listen to their concerns, and ultimately I want to make everyone happy.
Hey, how do you find out if someone is upset during the course of a game? You have a cell phone and people are texting you and calling you saying we have a red alert down in section 342 or something?
Yep. So I'm not around much during the actual games themselves. Our director of guest experience, he's going to be the one. He has a radio on him at all times. So luckily we have a lot of staff in our guest services office. We have two guest services office, so that's the direct way. And they can radio to him or let him know directly to meet with them.
What's the most rewarding part of your job?
The whole reason I'm in baseball is because of an experience I had when I was about 10 years old.
What happened?
I got to meet my idol in baseball, and that was Derek Jeter. Mm. And when I was younger, I got to spend the day with the team and got to meet him, and he kind of inspired me to want to work in baseball.
He was the New York Yankees Hall of Fame shortstop, right?
Correct, yep, yeah. Yep. So I was very fortunate to meet him a couple of times, and because of that, I don't know if I have cerebral palsy. Anytime I hear that a kid's coming out to the ballpark with a special story, or maybe not even a kid, maybe it's someone who's just going through something a little special, I try to do whatever I can to make their experience memorable.
What did Derek Jeter say to you back in those days that still resonates with you today, Jonathan?
One of the things I remember vividly is, he came out, he was the last guy to come out of the locker room. And he said, "Jonathan, what do you want to do when you grow up?" And I said, "I want to play shortstop for the New York Yankees." And he said, "Well, give me a few years before you take my spot, all right?" And it's one of those things I'll never forget. And I was lucky enough to meet him again here before I was working here the year he retired. Mm-hmm. So I went down and I told him the whole story. And I said, "Mr. Jeter, you may not realize this, but you're a big reason why I'm able to walk now and why I'm able to do all these awesome things that when I was younger, I probably would have laughed at myself if I thought I was going to be able to do that." And he said, "Jonathan, I'm glad you think that's all me, but honestly, it's all you doing that. That's all the hard work that you've put in."
So, what a great message, right?
Yeah, he was a great guy.
What was your major at KU? Because you went to KU.
Uh-huh, and I majored in journalism, actually.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Wise choice.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it. Great time there.
You were the student manager for the baseball team at KU. They treated you as if you were one of the players. That must have worked for you pretty well.
Absolutely. A lot of my growth physically and as a person happened when I was at KU and with the baseball team. One of the things that happened is I couldn't walk two steps without letting go of my walker. I would just fall down. So one day we had a practice and kind of were walking out. I said, you know what, I'm going to walk out to the foul line and just start walking. So all the players were there, all my teammates were there watching, and I just started walking and I didn't fall down. Cheered me on big time. And that was a big thing for me is I realized for me, physical therapy is probably 80% mental and 20% physical.
Mm-hmm.
So once I was able to get over that hurdle of falling down, I could do so much more. So my teammates at KU and the time I had there, I made it a point to walk every time we had a game. And by the end of my career there, I was able to take batting practice. I was able to run.
No kidding.
Play catch. Obviously I'm not sprinting anywhere, but for me, it was a big step. So
baseball has meant the world to you in more ways than a lot of people might recognize.
Yeah, exactly right. I'm very fortunate to be where I am today, and it doesn't happen without the great people around me.
Well, that's Jonathan Rosa. He's a guest experience specialist for the Royals, and what a pleasure to have you. Keep up the great work and keep going with all your rehab work and everything else.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure being on here.
You bet. Again, that's Jonathan Rosa, a guest experience specialist for the Royals. We're coming to you live this morning from the Diamond Club here at Kauffman Stadium. The sun is out. The Oakland Athletics are out, jogging back and forth out in left field. And, folks, the wind is blowing hard from left to right, if I can take on the persona of a Major League Baseball announcer here, blowing really hard from left to right. That's going to influence the outcome of today's game. We're starting to see some Royals come out in the field here for the first time as this 2017 season gets underway. I'm trying to see if I can twist over to my right shoulder and see which players are actually out. It's a little bit hard from here to tell for sure. But anyway, it's a gorgeous opening day. Now I want to talk about renovations that were made to the K this offseason. More construction took place prior to this season since the big stadium renovation 8 seasons ago. Now here to tell us what went on is Kevin Ulick. He's Senior Vice President of Business Operations for the Royals. Part of his job has been to oversee stadium renovations, including the major one 8 years ago in 2009. Kevin, welcome. Nice
to
have
Steve.
You here.
Yeah, great. It's great to be here on opening day.
So there was a lot of construction this offseason. What happened?
We did. You know, Steve, the building now is about 8 years after the initial renovation. And so
it was time for a spruce up.
It right? was. It's, you know, it's time to try and do a few things. Each year over the last couple of years, we've tackled a different project. We did the old stadium club 3 years ago, which turned into Craft and Draft. Last year we did Rivals, which had a complete renovation to it. And then this year we took the core behind home plate, and it was pretty aggressive. It's really the largest renovation since the big renovation, as
and
you
we're
say.
We're sitting in one result of your handiwork here, the Diamond Club, which
we
is
are.
Behind home plate. And what did you do behind home plate? What
well,
happened?
Well, we actually gutted almost all of it, and
wow.
we changed the food service operation. We have a more expanded menu, some really unique menu items on it.
Yeah, the sunrise dog I'm told about.
They do.
I
got
to check this out.
It's got bacon and an egg on it.
It scares me a little bit, to be honest with you.
But what we tried to do was, you know, not only renovate it for Diamond Club seat holders, but we took a lot of those concession operations and we made them accessible from the main concourse behind. So
and that's new for fans this
that
season.
That is. That's new. And we've incorporated a rotisserie area. We've incorporated a KC bakery, which we've never really had, with handmade cinnamon rolls and some nitrogen ice cream. Don't ask me how they do it, but it's pretty amazing.
I've been told it's very amazing, as a matter of fact.
It is. Yeah. It's unique and it's good. And I think our fans will like it. And then a new craft cocktail bar, which sits down on the far end. And you know, that took the place of where our Royals Authentics used to be, and what we had to do was actually build a structure for that across the concourse from it. And then our team store. We did a complete renovation. We opened that up and made it a lot more accessible from inside the stadium.
Kevin, are you the guy who decides what's going to get renovated each offseason, or how does that decision, set of decisions get made?
It's collective. We've got a group of people that are very talented, and we'll sit down during the year and figure out what we need to try and do. We also use Populous, which is a local architect here in Kansas City who's got a lot of experience in stadiums. And then ultimately it resides with our ownership and with Dan Glass, and he's, you know, the one that comes out and takes a look at what we want to do and blesses the project.
Now, here in the Diamond Club, if someone wants to come to the Diamond Club and watch a game from inside behind the glass here, how do you do that? Just buy a ticket?
You do. Yeah, it's open to all Diamond Club members, which is, you know, the seats that are about 1,000 seats out in the seating bowl down in front of it. And then this year we added about 112 more seats inside the club. So for the first time, you really can buy a fixed chair inside the club. And those went pretty fast. We sold those out probably in about a two-week period.
I was going to say, you have theater-style seating here. That's very different than what it was before. This is like a seat you'd sit in at a modern motion picture house.
It is. Yeah, it's got a rocking back to it. It's, you know, fully padded, and it's a very nice seat. And I think it's going to be pretty popular.
And the color scheme in here is what?
Well, it's very warm. It's got a lot of walnut. You know, all the columns we clad with walnut. Still has the stone, the limestone that we had before, but completely new carpeting, a new paint scheme, and just generally a refresh.
You know, using this space as an example, Kevin, how did the architects from Populous work with the Royals to come up with a final design for each space that you wound up renovating?
Well, part of that is, you know, going out and looking at other buildings. You know, before we did this, we took a trip down to Houston and we saw the football stadium there and the baseball stadium that had gone through a similar renovation not too long ago. And so usually the next good idea is, you know, taking one that's happened and then figuring out ways to make it even better. And so, you know, we do that along with our friends at Populous. And really that's the best way to see it. See how they're used. Go to these buildings and see how they function.
What's the particular challenge of renovating a space that's, you know, already fully occupied and fully functional? That's got to pose some problems.
Well, it doesn't really. I mean, the building itself is now approaching, 35, 40 years old. And so, you know, you have some issues with plumbing that you constantly need to deal with and that. But for the most part, it's not. We had some structural things that we had to change here right behind home plate. We used to have a bar, and we thought we had the original treads and risers, the seats that used to be in this area. Well, they weren't there. We took them out during the last renovation. So we had some structural concrete they had to pour there. So you have some things like that come up. But basically, it's no different than going into another building. And
you know, one final thing I wanted to ask you, how is the stadium holding up? You know, even though it's been renovated, this is still the original concrete, right, from back in the early 70s.
It is.
What do you make of it?
That's the hardest part. You know, people try and speculate at the end of our lease, you know, what's really going to happen, and can you do a renovation on top of the old renovation? And, you know, for a lot of the things, cosmetically, you can go ahead and make changes, but you hit the nail on the head. Concrete.
Doesn't last forever.
It doesn't, and especially in this environment with the freeze and the thaw, and you get cracks in it, and then those start to spall. And so, you know, it's pretty tough. It's still a little bit too early to figure out what we're going to do with it, but those things, you know, remain to be pretty big challenges if you're going to try and do another renovation.
Are you constantly patching it?
You are, yeah.
That's just
we take
ongoing
areas.
Stuff.
It's ongoing maintenance. It's a line item in our budget that we keep doing every year.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's Kevin Ulick, Senior Vice President of Business Operations for the Royals. Kevin, have a great opening day. Thanks
All right,
for taking
Steve,
some time.
Thank
Always
you.
Good to have you here. And we couldn't do one of our opening day shows without a visit from Kurt Nelson, who's director of the Royals Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame this year had a couple of new exhibits dedicated to Jordano Ventura, the Royals' ace pitcher, who was killed, obviously, during the offseason in that traffic mishap. And Kurt, welcome back. Always good to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
You are very rightly honoring Jordano Ventura with two new exhibits this year. Tell us about them.
You know, there's two of them. One of them's in the lobby, so right as you're coming in. And if fans were at FanFest, they probably saw part of this exhibit. It was really a fan, you know, participation in this particular one.
The stuff that people wrote out.
That is correct. We had a whole bunch of panels that fans signed at FanFest, and it was really an overwhelming outpouring of support for Giordano's family and everything. I mean, every square inch of those panels is covered with messages about Giordano. And
messages like what? Does any one or two stand out to you?
You know, most of them are just the messages of thanks. You know, I think that's an important thing here in Kansas City. We all feel like we're a family. We certainly feel that way here with the Royals, and it really goes out to thanking Giordano and his family for the life that he had and the great things that he brought in the short time he was here with us in Kansas City, all the memorable times that he brought for us. So it's really more of a thank you more than anything else, which I think is really a sign of grace for all of us here in Kansas City to be able to share that with Giordano's family.
And what's the second exhibit dedicated to Giordano Ventura?
So when you get into the gallery of the Hall of Fame, that's where we actually have some artifacts from Giordano's career with the Royals. The two main artifacts that are on display are, we have a jersey from his start in the American League Division Series in 2014. That was game two of that series out in Anaheim, a game that we won. That was his first postseason start. He would go on and make 9 postseason starts, which ties him with Dennis Leonard for the most postseason starts in Royals history.
Wow.
Another artifact that we have is the first...
You would know something like that.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
I do. Too many details in my head. But the other one that's really fun for me to look back on is the first pitch baseball from ALCS Game 6 in 2015. Now, he started that game, so he threw the first pitch of that game. We would go on and win that game and clinch our second consecutive American League pennant. So two very important ball games that Giordano was part of. And then on the backside of that exhibit is another sort of fan involvement, is in the hours, not days, but hours after the news of Giordano's passing, fans started coming to Kauffman Stadium and bringing mementos and things like that. And we tried to curate a sampling of those that gives people a feeling for what Kansas City was feeling at that time and the outpouring for Giordano.
How'd you decide what you were going to include in these memories to Giordano Ventura?
You know, it's hard because there were so many of them. Now, some of them were flowers and things like that that you had to discard. But there's other things that were written or, T-shirts and tickets and some even handmade items, which those really stand out. Some people really took some time in their own creativity to come up with something that was really meaningful to them to express their thankfulness for Giordano's life and his time in Kansas City. So we tried to get a little bit of all of those things, young and old. And,
is that pretty much your decision as to what to include?
Yeah,
and
we tried to weed our way through. There were so many of them, Steve, that it was a very hard decision about what we would keep on a permanent basis. But I think it's a good sampling of the spirit that was in Kansas City at that time.
How long would these two exhibits to Ventura be around this year?
Now, the Fan Fest Extension one will probably be up at least through the first couple of homestands. The one inside the gallery will probably be up a little bit longer into the season, so we want to spend the proper amount of time to be respectful for Giordano and his contributions to the Royals.
Have members of his family seen them?
Yeah, his members of his extended family, including his grandfather and his mother, were in the Royals Hall of Fame last night after their arrival in Kansas City, and so they were able to go through, and they were very touched by the panels and the items that were left by fans. I think that really made an impact on them, and I think they feel at home in this sort of foreign place to them, a far-off place in Kauffman Stadium, but they feel at home in Kansas City.
Well, Kurt Nelson, director of the Royals Hall of Fame, we couldn't do one of these shows without you. It's become a tradition here, hasn't
Absolutely,
it?
Absolutely, and I'm glad to do it.
Thanks for joining us. Sure,
thanks,
appreciate
Steve.
It.
Appreciate it.
Again, if you're just joining us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date. We're coming to you live from the K on this opening day of the Royals 2017 season. You know, the Royals have captured a lot of attention on the field in recent years with their two trips to the World Series in 2014 and 2015. This year, though, some of the food offerings at the K are grabbing headlines. In fact, no fewer than two of the food choices are ranked in the top 10 of the craziest ballpark foods of 2017 based on a list I saw last night. Here to explain what all this is about is Air America Executive Chef James Mena. And James, nice to have you. Welcome.
Good being here. Thank you.
Well, let's dive right into this. I mean, number 6 on the list of these crazy foods at the ballparks is something called the Sunrise Dog, James. explain what the Sunrise Dog is all about, and could I handle one?
Absolutely, you can. We all can. So the Sunrise Dog is kind of a tribute to breakfast. We've got our white sausage gravy, our crispy applewood smoked bacon, and our aged cheddar with a farm fresh fried egg on top.
So it's a healthy food.
Very,
what you're
yes.
describing here.
Very,
very healthy. No cholesterol involved.
Not at all.
Where did this idea come from?
You know,
is this your? Are you responsible for this?
Me and my team are responsible. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we follow food trends. We know, you know, eggs and breakfast foods. People love eating that any time of the day, and they love it on their sandwiches. And why not top a dog?
Do you, like, test it with a bunch of people before you trot it out?
Absolutely. We do tests all throughout the year, you know, from even from October to March, April, May. We test constantly.
Okay. And how about number six? The number two on the list, I think, is something called the pulled pork patty melt. Number two, what's the pulled pork patty melt?
So that's our fun stadium tribute to barbecue, our whimsical item. It's a nice, sweet and crispy funnel cake topped with house-smoked pulled pork.
A funnel cake with pulled pork.
Yes, sweet and salty and spicy and savory. It all goes well together with some pulled pork.
Who would have thought of a funnel cake with pulled pork?
We did here at the K.
That's just amazing.
Absolutely.
It came out number two on the list.
Yes,
so
very excited.
You're
to
already
that.
Getting some attention.
Absolutely.
Do you like how it tastes?
It's awesome. It's so good. It hits every flavor sense. It's delicious.
Wow, okay. Is being outrageous part of the criteria here that you're looking for?
A little bit, yeah. We want to be a little outrageous sometimes and have some fun, whimsical food that people can talk about and Instagram and take photos of and share with their friends.
Now, these two items are offered at the general concession, so any fan can experience them, or how does it work?
Absolutely. Any fan can experience the dog. The Sunrise Dog is at the dugout doghouses on the wings of the left and right, the first and third base side. And the pulled pork patty melt is being sold behind the Hall of Fame out in left field.
Well, but the Sunrise Dog, you've got to fry that egg up right on the spot.
They fry
right?
it on the spot for you, right in front of you.
Right there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How will fans know which concession site has which specialty items, James?
Well, we've got all of our updated menu boards around. When you're walking up to each stand or walking by each stand, you can see what we're offering at each specialty stand.
Okay. And do I have this right? There's a spinach salad at the ballpark this year?
Yep. So we're running some specialty salads.
Because we're going from this very heavy, non-healthy
yes.
stuff to something that's got a little health to it?
Absolutely. We hit all parts of the spectrum here. We've got our Price Chopper Marketplace out in left field by the Hall of Fame as well. We're offering special wraps and specialty salads throughout the season.
Are you sensing from fans that even though they're out here at the K, there is a market for healthier food?
Absolutely. I mean, and the fans are, you know, they're educated. They know what good food is. They know what healthy food is. You know, everyone's watching, you know, the Food Network and stuff. They know what they want, and we're going to offer it to them.
Okay, here's a question I've been wanting to ask here. This liquid nitrogen ice cream
yes.
I've been hearing all about. People are buzzing about it. You
yes.
watch it created right in front of you. Walk us through that.
Yes. So our
what is it?
So our ice cream technicians here in the Diamond Club.
Your ice cream technicians?
Technicians.
You have technicians
yes.
for ice cream. Okay.
We have technicians. They are the customer can come up. They can come up and order their ice cream right to our technician. Vanilla, chocolate, or our special the homestand is salted caramel this week.
Will that change every week?
The special will change homestand to homestand.
Salted caramel.
Salted caramel. Yep. Mm. And so what our technicians will do, they'll put it in the bowl. They'll start pouring the liquid nitrogen in. They'll spin it, whip it up nice and airy, and they'll fill you a nice cup of fresh made ice cream to order.
Right there. What's the science behind this?
Liquid nitrogen is about -300 degrees, and as it slowly drizzles into the whipping ice cream base, it freezes up slowly. It's nice and soft and smooth and delicious.
And this will happen right in front of you?
Right in front of you.
Are you worried about lines backing up, or does this happen pretty quickly?
It's about a 1.5-minute process, but it's all about the show. It's all about the smoke and the fun, and people are going to love it.
There's smoke out of this?
The liquid nitrogen, the you know, it smokes out and it looks great.
That's so cool.
Oh, yeah.
Liquid
literally
nitrogen
cool.
ice cream. That's
yes.
Literally cool. That's right.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the short rib cheese curds. I can't believe where do you guys come up with this? Short rib cheese curds available here at the Diamond Club.
Right here in the Diamond Club, yeah.
You're going to kill people, James.
They're going to love it. It's a slow-braised beef short rib. We mix in some cheese curds and a little tempura batter. We fry it up. We serve it with a Chipotle ranch dipping sauce. It's delicious.
It's frightening to me.
It's amazing.
Is it?
It's amazing.
You're sticking with your story.
I'm sticking with my story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where did that idea come from?
We just thought about it. You know, we cheese curds is kind of a Midwest thing, and we love, you know, meat here in Kansas City, and why not add some meat with some cheese and some, you know, nice fried goodness.
You're stopping me here, man. How many attempts did it take to get this one right, this short rib cheese curds?
How many attempts?
Yeah.
I mean, 4 or 5 trials. You know, how much meat do we put in, how much batter, how much cheese, until we came to our final product.
Overseeing all this has got to be an incredible challenge. All these different ingredients, products,
yes,
freshness, people doing it, having the knowledge to make the thing the right way. It can't be an easy job.
It's not an easy job, but it's all about training our staff and ensuring that everyone's on the same page. And, you know, a week or so of training prior to opening day, everyone gets out there and we do it. And, you know, I've got a team of chefs. We walk around, we make sure everything's right.
So you began training a week ago?
About. Yep.
And does it take people a while to sort of get the hang of some of
these
things?
It's all about repetition, you know. We've done a few trials throughout the week, and we've perfected our items, and now opening day we're good to go.
What do you think the hot item this year is going to be? Now, we're talking about all these different things. What's going to be the one? Is it the ice cream, which is my early bet? But
the ice cream absolutely is going to be a very, very popular item, and I think that Sunrise Dog, you know, it's gained a lot of popularity through media these past couple weeks.
And if I have a hankering for short rib cheese curds but don't have a seat in the Diamond Club, am I out of luck or not?
You are, unfortunately. It is exclusive to the Diamond Club ticket holders.
And just quickly, I understand kosher food will be offered beginning April 19th.
Correct. We're going to have a specific kosher cart just for our kosher guests in-house.
Okay. Well, James, so good to have you here. I really appreciate
pleasure
you taking
here.
Some time, and best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, it's always a pleasure to be out here for opening day here at the K. You can listen to previous programs here at UpToDate at kcur.org/UpToDate. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at KCURUpToDate. You can follow me at Steve Kraske, and don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook. Join us tomorrow when we examine the impact of the Charlotte Street Foundation on Kansas City's local art. Our program is produced by Danny Alexander, Luke Martin, Coy Duggar, and Claire Tatacoro. We had help today from Linda Scher, Stephen Steigman, Chris Pruitt, and Peggy Lowe. And special thanks to Toby Cook and the outstanding staff here at the K for making us so welcome once again here for the 2017 home opener. I'm Steve Kraske. Go Royals, and you are up to date.
You've been listening to Up to Date live from Kauffman Stadium right here on KCUR and KCUR HD1, Kansas City Public Media. I'm Linda Scher. Stay with us for Here and Now coming up next. We were overwhelmed by the support of thousands of listeners during our spring membership drive. We want to thank you, and KCUR promises to continue working hard to maintain your loyalty and trust. If you missed a chance to make a contribution, it's not too late. Do so at kcur.org. And again, our thanks. Up to Date is made possible by Boling's Fine Chinese Restaurants, offering fresh cuisine and convenient catering services for business meetings, parties, or special events. Their catering menu can be found online at bolings.com or by calling the Plaza location. Boling's, Chinese, please. And the Greater Kansas City Community Foundation, helping donors achieve their charitable goals through their own personal donor-advised funds. Details are online at growyourgiving.org. It is noon, 63 degrees right now in Midtown Kansas City. Sunny today with a high of 69.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. Coming up, President Trump's Supreme Court pick is sworn in.
I, Neil M. Gorsuch, do solemnly swear
that I will administer justice without respect to persons.
That I will administer justice without respect to persons.
And do equal right to the poor and to the rich.
And do equal right.
Also, Thailand has a new constitution after the country's 12th coup in 80 years. The military government says that will lead to new elections, but the people have heard that before.
You could argue that after 20 constitutions, you wonder why Thais even take them seriously.
These stories and Dallas's emergency warning system is hacked. How secure is your town system? Coming up Here and Now.
The news is first.